Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 17. I was going to preach out of the book of Numbers this morning, but the Lord's changed my mind, so we're going to go to Acts 17. And everybody stand. Thank you, my sister. Keeping me straight, aren't you? I need help. I'm telling you, the older I get. Acts chapter 17. Beginning with verse 16, the Word of God declares, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews, and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or to hear some new thing.' Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life in breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, the bounds of their habitation. They should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him, and find him though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Forasmuch then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, 'We'll hear thee again of this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him." Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. Lord, as we come to the breaking of the bread of life, I ask that you bless your word this morning. Please give me the words to say. Let me preach with boldness and authority your truth laid upon my heart. Speak this morning. Father, may your Holy Spirit deal with hearts this morning. Deal with our hearts. Deal with our minds. Just deal with us, Lord, in general. I know all of us have areas where we need work, Lord. And we just look to you to accomplish your will in our lives. Father, again, if there's one amongst us doesn't know Christ and the free pardon of sin, may this be that day to trust Jesus for their salvation. For it's in his name we pray this morning. Amen. Please be seated. Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy have been in Berea. And believe it or not, the Apostle Paul got ran out of Berea. That's how he ended up in Athens, about 150 miles from Berea. Of course, everybody knows Athens is in Greece. And Greece was noted for their intellectual. Anybody ever ran across an intellectual? Do I know any intellectuals in this bunch here this morning? Keep your hand down. If you can wear a jacket like that, you ain't an intellectual. Nah. Did you see his jacket this morning? I could pick him out in a crowd 100 miles away, I tell you what. But anyways, intellectuals. And that's what they are noted for. And beloved, I want to just say this before I even get started. You can read every book there is and every library there is. You can learn, go to school, get every degree you could pin upon a wall. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're dumb. I don't care how educated you are. Amen. Thank God, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I had enough good common sense to know that Jesus took my place. He paid my debt that I owed. And guess what? I had enough sense to let Him do it by receiving Him as my Savior. And I pray everybody's done that. But I know. You might be under the sound of my voice, you've yet to do it yet. Well, this is your opportunity today. So, Paul goes to Athens. And it says, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Let me just say, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. I can imagine his spirit was stirred. Because everywhere he went, all he saw was idols and people worshiping idols. In fact, one commentary said, there was like 30,000 idols to 10,000 men. So three idols for every man there in Athens. And they had an idol for everything. Now before we throw rocks at the Athenians, understand something. You and I are guilty of worshiping idols too. Sometimes it's our family. Sometimes it's our job. Sometimes it's our sports team. I said it. I've been guilty. But we all tend to bow before an idol. The thing about it is, they didn't know no better. But you and I that are Christians, we are to know better. Amen? We should know better because if you have Jesus, you don't need to bow before some stone or some stick. Amen? So, he stirred. He sees a whole city given to idolatry. And the Word of God says, therefore he disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. Of course, he's going to go to church. He's going to go to the synagogue and he's going to preach. And you know what he's going to preach? He ain't going to preach about idols. He's going to preach about God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And he disputed with them. You know, the Jews, even today, they're still waiting for the Messiah to come for the first time. Sorry, he's already come and he's coming again. So he's disputing in the synagogue. And notice, and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Notice, he goes to the synagogue, all he's getting, everybody wanting to argue, and he's telling them the truth. So he says, you know what, I'll just go to the marketplace. So he goes to the marketplace and it's a fancy meeting place where everybody is. And what does he do? He preaches Christ. What does that tell me and you? You and I are to be willing to take the gospel any and everywhere. And by the way, we are to make sure we go where the people are. Amen? Go where the people are. So he's in a marketplace. Now notice, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. Now these were intellectuals of that day. And notice with me, the Epicureans were those that we would call hedonists today. It's all about pleasure. I've met lots of people that care more about pleasure than the things of God or anything else. Amen? Oh, if it feels good, do it. Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. That's all they seek. In fact, the devil has convinced them to believe that pleasure, since you only live once, just go out and do anything that appeals to you, feels good. Don't worry about it because after all, you're going to die one of these days. And by the way, when you die, you just go back to the dust of the earth. Well, it's true. These old bodies will one day return to the dust they were made from. but my soul, my spirit's going to be with the Lord. Amen. I'm going to live on. And it's my choice to choose where I live on. It's your choice to choose where you live on, heaven or hell. It's your choice. So, he comes up to these philosophers. Again, Epicureans, pleasure. That was their philosophy. Grab all the gusto you can. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That was their attitude. But then he came across the Stoics. Now, the Stoics were those that thought intelligence and knowledge was the most important thing. Well, I guess I got a little Stoic in me because I believe in knowing all there is to know about a loving, merciful God that would send his son to the cross of Calvary to pay the penalty for my sin. So I want to know as much about this book as I can. But again, their philosophy was knowledge. And again, they were smart. They were philosophers. They were poets. They were that bunch that you didn't want to hang out with in high school. You ever hung out with nerds? See, I wouldn't hang out with a nerd. You know the ones that had the pocket thing? Protectors, thank you. That's what I was looking for. The pencils and the dark rimmed glasses, and they were always the ones that made straight A's. You know, I wanted nothing to do with them because, believe me, I couldn't hang out with those guys. They were way too smart. Thank you, brother. That's good. I didn't hang out with them either. Or purple, Brother Clyde. Anyways. But I do hang out with my brother. He's my buddy. He's my brother. You know, the Lord's going to open his eyes one of these days. He's going to burn that purple shirt. Probably not. Anyways, so he met these philosophers. And they encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Now, that word babbler, when you trace it back into the Greek, you know what it means? They're talking about the Apostle Paul. They were calling him a seed picker. That's what it means, a babbler. He was a seed picker. He was like an old bird that would go about and pick up this little bit of knowledge and that little bit of knowledge and that little bit. But I'm here to tell you the Apostle Paul knew God. And he knew God's word, front and back, as was revealed to him. What will this old babbler say? Now there's some, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached unto them. What did he preach to them? Jesus and the resurrection. I want you to understand, there is nothing else to preach but Jesus, his death, and his resurrection. That is the gospel. Those of us that have been called by God to preach, that's what he expects us to preach, not politics. Don't get me wrong, our country. We better pray for our country. But listen, no, I'm here to preach Jesus and the resurrection. And to the Athenians, they'd never heard anything like that before in their lives. Believe it or not, there's people in Las Vegas, Nevada this morning that have never darkened the door of a church, never opened a Bible because they've never owned a Bible. We have a responsibility when God opens the door to share Jesus, his death, and his resurrection, the gospel. Now, the Bible says this, "And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, the big council place, where all these people were, and it's just saying, we may know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is." Notice, they were curious. They'd never heard anything like this. They were curious. There's people out there that are curious. You see, they're searching to the answers of life. They're searching for peace. They're searching for contentment. They're searching because God has placed that in every one of his creation. Man. You see, it always bothers me to run across someone who says they're an atheist or an agnostic. Could be, but I don't really think so. Well, first and foremost, there's something placed in all of our hearts that make us want to know why we're here. How did we get here? Where are we going when we leave here? That's God. And again, many people try to fill that void in many ways. The only thing that will ever bring peace and contentment is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Period. Now, notice, he appears at Areopagus. Marcia, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. There's a lot of that new stuff out there today. Amen. There's a lot of people willing to hear it and tell about it. Beloved, we got to stick to the book. We stick to Jesus, his death and his burial and resurrection. Notice, didn't Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious." Superstitious. But what he's talking about is you're too religious. Now, there's lots of superstitions out there. Amen. How many of you will walk under a ladder? I know some of you say, "Nope, not me. That's a superstition." What if a black cat runs in front of you? "Oh, I'm going across the other way." That's a superstition. And again, that's not what Paul's dealing with here. He is dealing with too religious. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. There's a lot of people out in the world today that are lost, headed to hell, and they're as religious as they come. But listen to me. I am not religious. Religion has nothing to do with a relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must have a personal relationship with Christ as your Savior. Religion will send you to hell. Lots of people are on that path. They were too religious because they had idols everywhere. And they would bow and they would worship a stick. They would worship a rock. Worship gold. So listen. You remember that one time Peter healed a person? And him and Andrew were together. And he healed this person. And after healing this person, these people fell down and began to literally worship him, bowing down to a man. Godly man, God's man, but they were worshiping him. And you know, this is just me. I can picture in my mind Peter's going, "Get up! Get up! What's wrong with you nuts? I didn't do anything. I don't have no power to do anything. It was God above that healed this man. Get up! Quit bowing." But these people, these Athenians, every time they come across the statue or an idol, they would bow. And they would worship because they were religious. Again, I'm not religious. I just happen to have a relationship with Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, notice. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." First of all, let me just say, boy, they are trying to cover their bases, wouldn't they? They had idols everywhere. They even had one that said to the unknown God. Paul says, "Hey, you know that one there? Let me tell you about it." So it says, "Whom therefore you ignorantly worship." Him. He's the one I want to declare. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." First of all, Paul starts talking about the sovereignty of God. Listen to me. God made the heavens and the earth. God is in control of the heavens and the earth. He's in control of us, his creation. He's in control of governments and nations. He controls it all because he's sovereign. This is his creation. And we need to be mindful that he's sovereign. So he brings up the sovereignty of God. Notice what it says. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Listen, man did not make God. God made man. Understand that this morning. man cannot make. God can certainly make that. And he did. Notice, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything. I don't want to burst your bubble this morning, but God don't need me and he don't need you to accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish. Doesn't need us. We're privileged that he'll use us if we're obedient and we're where we're supposed to be in our walk with him. But he doesn't need us. Notice something else. Seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. See what the Athenians failed to realize was this. That the very breath they were breathing, the very air they were breathing, because of God. The very food that they were able to eat was because of God. The very clothes they had on their back was because of God. The very place they had to stay in, homes, was because of God. You see, it was God that supplied all of those things. And God supplies us with everything. And we're thankful for that. That's why we're here to worship him and to thank him and to be grateful for those things. But listen, there's a lost world out there that could care less. They don't even think about the breath that they're breathing being God, or the homes they live in being God, or the clothes on their back being there because of God, and the food they eat every day because of God, because he's allowed them to have jobs. They don't even think about those things. It's very sad. Very sad. Now notice what else. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. One blood. And you know what color that blood is when you cut yourself and bring it? If I cut myself, I'm going to bleed red. Sister Valerie cuts herself, she's going to bleed red. All one blood. This racist stuff is not of God. We've all created in his image. Amen? It's ridiculous. I know that card is pulled a lot, and I get tired of hearing it. I'm sure that bunch of think they are being done wrong. They get tired of it, but I'm here to tell you, our God made us all. There's only one God. Amen. And either we belong to him or we don't. What I mean by that is, he created us, so we're all created by him. Now, not everybody's in the family of God. You know why? Because they've never been born again. Notice what he says. And hath determined the times before appointed in the bounds of their habitations. Nations, kingdoms, all of that. God has appointed their time and their habitation, just like he's appointed our time. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Listen, our time here on earth is appointed. We don't know how long we're going to be here. God does. The hairs on our head are numbered, brother. Yours, I love you.
One, two, three.
Brother, I wouldn't be talking. I wouldn't be talking. My point is, Brother Dave, look at these guys. You know, y'all might be closer to eternity than what you think. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm teasing. Amen. That'd be good. Amen. I gotta make a lot of my brothers. You know it's in good fun. I got a spot too. And I've noticed the mirror is starting to get a little bigger and bigger, so I'll be there. Anyways. But he determines our time. But he also determines the government. You know, we moan and we groan and we gripe about who's president, who's this and that. Will you listen to me just for a second? God has ordained that. They're there for that time. When God gets ready to remove them, they'll be removed. But they ain't going nowhere till he's ready to remove them. Or if we take them out without God's approval, as a nation, you better watch it. God will just give you what you want. Amen. Notice, it says that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Understand something, because I've had this question asked me ever since I've been saved and in the ministry. Preacher, what about those people way out there in the jungles? They've never seen a preacher, never heard the gospel. Is God going to save them too? Here is your answer. Notice what He says. That they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him. And what? Find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Listen, through creation itself, it says there is a God. There is a Creator. And if a heart is truly seeking to know God, believe me, God will reveal Himself to that person. There's your answer. There's your answer. Notice real quick. For in Him we live, move, and have our being. As certain also of your own voice have said, for we are also His offspring. Let me just say this. The Apostle Paul was a sharp. Yes, he was educated. He was a Pharisee of a Pharisee. Hebrew of a Hebrew. He knew the Word. And yeah, he was a little intellectual. But notice, he even used their own poets. Even your own poets have said this. Smart guy. Why? Because he was trying to win those intellectuals. What did he tell us? To win a Jew, I became a Jew. Gentile, I became as a Gentile, that I might win. That's how we're supposed to be. Not that we partake of the world and do the same things those that don't know the Savior do, but we can at least make ourselves available, not be afraid. Say, hey, how you doing? You know, I was thinking as I was going to preach this morning, I was thinking, you know, if I had to witness to an intellectual, what would I say? Because after all, you know, I'm a little country. I'm a lot of country. I got a little redneck in me. I got a lot of redneck in me. But, you know, I'm like a square peg in a round hole. Kind of like me trying to go through that submarine in South Carolina. It just, I thought, man, no wonder they're little bitty people. Because big people cannot go through those holes. And they're that high. You have to step over. You know, just, but how would I talk to an intellectual? How would I start it off? And praise the Lord. You know, the Lord always comes through. He laid it on my heart to say, what's your thoughts on that? You believe there's one? Just listen to them. And then when they're done, say, well, here is my thoughts about the Antichrist. Then explain to them that every man's got to die. And we're all going to stand before God and give an account. And the only way that we can stand before God and have nothing to worry about is to accept God's Son and His sacrifice on the cross as payment for the sins we've committed. Because that's why we're standing before God to give an account. Every one of us are going to give an account. That's how I would answer an intellectual. That's how I'd lead off. But let him, what do you think about the afterlife? What do you think about God? You believe there's a God? Just naturally share your faith. And I want to encourage you, just naturally share your faith. Amen? Simple. Tell them what God did for you. Notice, For in him we live, move, have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that God, that the Godhead is like gold, silver, stone, graven art, and man's devices. There's a lot of that out there today. We're warned in the Word of God. Paul warned Timothy that he would run across men that were ever trying, and I'm paraphrasing, ever trying to come to truth and knowledge, but never being able to get there. You know, some people will believe a lie more than they would the truth. But what did Paul say? Let God be true and every man a liar. Always remember that. Always remember that. So Godhead is not made up of gold, though. It's not something that man builds by his hand. There is a true and living God. Say, preacher, where did he come from? Don't know. He's always been. Always will be. I just know he exists. How? Because he lives in my heart. He lives in my heart. That's how I know he's real. And I've seen him. I can see over the years how his hand has directed my steps and my path. I can see him moving in my life. That's how I know he's real. That's right, sister. Notice. And at the times of this ignorance, this is what I love. Listen to Paul. He told him about Jesus and the resurrection. Now, what is he telling him? Look at this. And at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. But now commandeth every man everywhere to repent. What is the greatest need we have on this planet? Oh, we need to cure cancer. Or the environment. Global warming. No, the greatest need this planet has is it needs repentance. Men need to repent for their sins. And God requires it and He commands it. All men everywhere repent. Jesus said this, except you repent, you're going to all likewise perish. Then he says, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world. Appointed unto man wants to die after this judgment, but he's going to judge the world in what? Righteousness. And I'm here to tell you, you and I are incapable of being righteous. Apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody understand that? Listen, when we, at the moment of conversion, at the moment of the new birth, where we confess our sins, repent, and receive Christ, at that very moment, you know what happened? The new birth? The imputed righteousness of Christ is placed upon us. And now, when Jesus, or God the Father, sees me, you know what he sees? He sees Jesus, his Son. That's good stuff. Amen. But we're commanded to repent. I didn't make up that rule. God said do it. And if God says do something, I mean you better be about doing it. Amen. Now notice what else it says. Because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he's ordained, whereof he's given assurance. Let me just back up a second. By that man whom he's ordained. He's talking about Jesus there, his only begotten Son, coming into the world for one reason and one reason only, and that was to atone for the sins of the world. Real quick. Whereof he has given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead. Did you get that? He has given assurance to all men that will repent and accept Christ as their Savior that they don't have to worry about dying. Because they're going to live again. Forever. We have that guarantee. How, preacher? By the Lord's resurrection.
He is the first fruit of the dead. Because of it, we're going to follow those of us in Christ. Amen?
Real quick. Whom He's ordained, whereof He has given assurance unto all men that He's raised Him from the dead. Now, Paul, I believe, gave an invitation. And this is what happened. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, what happened? Some of them mocked. It used to bother me when I was young in the ministry, preaching revival back home, preached my heart out, give an invitation, look up there, and I see some teenagers kind of looking at each other, laughing and whatnot, mocking. Well, it used to bother me, I'll be honest. I don't know a preacher that it wouldn't bother. But they're not mocking me. God finally had to show me. They're not mocking you. They're not making fun of you. They're making fun of Him. He'll deal with it one day. Amen? The Bible says that some mocked. Others said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. Well, praise God, at least there were some that were willing to hear again. Listen, some folks, took me 26 years, guys, before I finally, and I heard of the matter over and over again. Took me a long time. But they were willing to hear again. Now they put it off. They delayed it. That's what, we'll hear you again of this matter. That's what it means. They're delaying. You might be under the sound of my voice. You're not mocking, but you're saying, I'm going to delay it. I still got plenty of time. I'm, after all, I'm pretty young. I got my whole life ahead of me. When I get old, I ain't got no more oats to sow, then I'll get religion. Again, it ain't about religion, it's about a relationship. And two, there's only one problem with that. You don't know if you've got tomorrow. This might be the only opportunity you have left. That's why you're hearing it today. The Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. And then it says, Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto Him and believed. Howbeit, not that whole bunch, but a few. Certain men heard and believed. We're always going to be in the minority. Every time you give out the gospel, it's always good crowds. But it's just certain ones. But praise God for those certain ones. Because they have been snatched out of the fire, according to Jude, verse 24. Thank God for those certain ones. You see, out of that whole bunch, all of those intellectuals Paul was trying to reach, just a few. But you know what? Praise God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and praise God that they were willing to give their hearts to the Lord. I'll close with this. What about you? Are you going to be one of the few? You're going to be the minority? If you are, that's fine and dandy. Don't worry about what people will think, what anybody says. You just take care of business with God. You give your heart to Him. You know if you're saved or not. You know if you're prepared to die or not. You know if you're going to heaven or going to hell. You know that. How do you know? Because God's Holy Spirit will go. You know there's a God. How do you know? Because the Holy Spirit that's dealing with your heart right now proves there's a God. You know. So it's up to you. It's up to you. So if you're under the sound of my voice and you've yet to trust Christ as your personal Savior, now's the accepted time. If you're under the sound of my voice and you've been saved, but maybe you stopped, kind of quit on God, sharing the gospel. Oh, you come to church and you still read your Bible and you have your prayer time, and praise God, that's the only way you're going to grow, and I'm glad you're doing that, but that's only part of it. You know, He wants us at church. He wants us on our knees, prayer. He wants us in His book. He also wants us to tell others about Jesus.
Because we are standing between them and hell. So maybe you're understanding my voice. You hadn't been sharing the gospel. I'd encourage you to ask the Lord to forgive you and then open the door for you. Maybe you just want to come and thank Him for who He is. He is God. Listen, man did not make God. God made man. And Him being the Creator, you know, He deserves our worship and our praise. And if you're saved, listen to me. We can't help but praise Him. We want to do that. The best way to praise Him is to thank Him. Thank Him for what He's done. Stand on.